Hey guys, welcome to Everyday Alchemy. I'm your host, Terry. Alongside of me, you will also be hearing from my community and other everyday people just like you, sharing their stories, tools, and magic to help expand your consciousness and alchemize your life. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Everyday Alchemy. So in today's episode, I'm going to get real deep and I'm actually going to share the rest of my story with all the events that unfolded and manifested right after my very profound experience with my 5-MeO DMT spiritual journey. And in sharing everything that unfolded, I just want to say that my intentions for sharing only truly comes from a place of good and higher perspectives. That intention only comes from like the energies of growth and healing and, of course, unconditional love. And I really want to stress that everything that I share isn't coming from a place of blame or shame. That's not my intention. And I really want to stress that everything that unfolded is actually just neutral in nature. These are the things that I share with you guys on the podcast, that everything in reality is just neutral. It's how you choose to perceive and then engage or interact or react from that perception that deems it as either good or bad, or deems people as either good or bad. And so that's what I wanted to share with you. No one is bad or good in this story that I'm sharing. I'm just sharing with you what happened so that hopefully you, the listener, can receive something from it. I don't know, maybe you've experienced something similar. I mean, I hope not, but like maybe you'll resonate with some of the messages that I have to share. So that's my intention. And yeah, because everything that unfolded, I'm going to admit, is just, well, wild, to say the least, for me anyways, and what I'm used to in my world. And I can fully understand that many of you out there will form your own judgments from where you're at in your journey, and that's totally okay. But please know that from where I am at now, with my level of understanding and clarity that I have now, that I've moved through the last month to reach this point, I only want to share this story as it's absolutely jam-packed with lessons and awarenesses that may help many of you. So that's why I want to share. As, yeah, I know what I experience in my reality, and from what I know and understand of reality, it always serves others in some way. And I'm also going to acknowledge that it also serves me too, in having closure, in honoring my truth, in trusting myself, and everything that I have learned from it as well. So with that all being said, let me just dive right in. So last week, I left off with sharing with you all how I experienced a very profound spiritual journey in where I went deep into and explored, with the aid of 5-MeO DMT medicine, having more understanding of what unconditional love is. And now, because I left it open like that, just like, I want to explore that. I did not know. I had no clue as to what would manifest afterwards that actually delivered me that. Like, in my journey, I understood and was in it and really kind of could draw in and pull down what unconditional love is and how it makes up our entire reality. But I didn't expect for me to really know it and see it and experience it in reality, real world, right afterwards, through the unfolding of all of this and moving through it. But I also, in my journey, wanted to explore my deep fears of having love and then it suddenly being taken away. That is a deep fear of mine. I first learned it in childhood. And yeah, so I wanted to dive deeper into those fears that I have and also into opening my heart. Like, I do have some blockages in opening my heart up into receiving unconditional love because I fear that it will suddenly be taken away. And so, yeah, so much was revealed. So much knowing and understanding and information, which I really can't wait to continue to share with you all, and that I know will help to shape each episode moving forward from what I experienced in my journey. I shared just a little bit of what I experienced in last week's episode. But before I share with what manifested afterwards in the real world, I also wanted to share that I've been in many spiritual journeys via all sorts of modalities in my life before, but I've also experienced spontaneous journeys and spontaneous awakenings and up-levelings that have just come out of nowhere, like not after I've gone into a intentional like space for it. It's kind of hit me over the head coming out of nowhere before. Actually, that happened, literally hit me over the head in 2020. I had a major up-leveling and awakening before I started the podcast in 2020, where a ceiling fell on my head and I was very concussed and I had a huge spontaneous awakening after that. So yeah, I've had them a few times in my life. And something that I tend to experience after these awakenings is difficulty in coming back into my body and anchoring into this 3D reality. So on a basic fundamental human functioning level, I can experience all sorts of things like difficulties in eating, which I've had recently. There was about a week where I could not eat. Like it was so foreign to me to eat. Like I had to force myself to eat. It's almost like being born again, but instead of a baby's body, you're in an adult's body. So that's a big thing. Difficulty sleeping. Difficulties consuming any information or even music, difficulty being around certain people, or just superficial, stupid stuff like petty dramas is really hard to be around. Even dreaming is difficult for me, and experience like nightmares and I don't know, just deep subconscious messages will come up. And I also feel highly anxious and very, very ungrounding, but also very, very in tune or psychic to everyone and everything around me. So those are some of the experiences you can feel during a spontaneous awakening or a spiritual journey afterwards. I also experience what I call moments of slipping, where I feel really foreign in my body. I feel like an alien in this world, like really foreign, and kind of like the world is slipping away from me. Where I just kind of look around and just know and have this overwhelming sense that this 3D reality is not real. You know, like I know that it is, that it's not illusionary. It's real, right? Like it's a manifested version or a solid version of just energy. But that really underneath, like you know on a whole other level, not just conceptually, that it's just energy, static energy. And that's what's really real. So that can be really overwhelming when you feel that in these slipping moments. Yeah, and in these moments, I feel really ungrounded. And I see or sense or just know that the world is what it really is, which is energy and static energy. And I feel my presence as a soul and not necessarily as Terry in this meat suit body. So yeah, it's incredibly ungrounding and reality altering. And I usually have to retract my energy from everyone and everything and kind of keep to myself, or just call upon good conscious friends of mine to help bring me back by talking to me or holding space for me. I have to be in nature a lot, meditate. I do that until this slipping feeling subsides. And it's honestly, it's really hard for me to even explain, and it's quite a vulnerable thing for me to even share, as even though I know there are many people in my life who have gone through this and experienced these symptoms too, I know that it can be hard to understand or conceive of for those of you who have never experienced these symptoms. So I just wanted to share that with you in case any of you out there have experienced that, and just want to share that you're not alone. It is a real thing that other people experience, and I hear you, and give yourself grace and just do whatever you can to bring yourself back, keep yourself grounded. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that because that's actually what I've been in and have been experiencing for a couple of weeks after my journey. It's been really difficult, and why I couldn't come back to the podcast, it was tough. It's really rattling. I'm not going to lie, it's rattling. And even though I've experienced it before, for those of you who have never experienced it and then you experience it for the first time, it can be awful. And yeah, I mean, I even had a slipping moment again most recently on Christmas Day, actually, a few days ago. But for the most part, I'm slowly more anchored and grounded in my body since, it's been a month since my DMT journey. And I'm mostly, for the most part, okay and good. But I have experienced some of these slipping experiences still. But anyhow, let me go on to what unfolded immediately after my journey. I feel like I need to do a whole episode on that slipping symptoms thing. But let me just go ahead as there's a lot to unpack and there's so much gold and wisdom to be shared. So about 3 hours after my journey that I had, my DMT spiritual journey, I was feeling the effects of the DMT just starting to wear off. And I had come back to my body a little bit more and I was feeling good and a lot better and just really sitting in and just soaking up the profound experience I had. And then I messaged the guy that I'd been seeing this year to let him know that I was okay and that I had such a deep and profound experience. Now, he had also had a really triggering day that day with lots of chaotic, stressful things going on for him, big changes. So I wanted to check in to see if he was feeling okay too. But I received a message back from him stating that he was not okay and was in something deep, just a deep spiraling confusion. And he expressed that he was just not sure about being in a relationship with me. Because just only the night before then, he'd expressed all of these deep loving things and now he wanted to be exclusive with me. And I was like, okay, all right, let's do this. But anyway, he'd now retracted and said he was deeply confused and just was feeling panicked. And so as I was still in these profound energies of unconditional love, I replied saying that it's all okay and I accepted how he was feeling and completely understood. However, into the evening, and as I came more into my human, the panic, the feelings and the fears and thoughts started racing in. And I had realized that my deepest fears had just manifested of having love and feeling safe and secure and stable, and then it suddenly is taken away. So it was a long night as I spiraled and battled this kind of flooding overwhelm that had come in. Now, the next day or so was really rough for me. I couldn't really talk to other people or be near people at all as I was having my symptoms, and so I just took the space to be slow and ground. And when I was feeling a bit better, I ended up meeting up with the guy that I'd been seeing to talk and to kind of get some clarity as to what was going on for him. We'd only just been texting in between then a few things, but we needed to talk. So yeah, I met up with him and probably had one of the most confusing talks I've ever had. The conversation was all over the place and not really clear at all, with him expressing one thing and then the opposite, which is how it had kind of been now that I look back.
Welcome to the Alchemy of Natural Healing. I'm your host, Laurel Dewey. True healing is an alchemical process, meaning it must transform you on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. What affects one affects all three. True healing is one of the hardest journeys you'll ever travel, but it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling when you get to meet yourself for the first time. If you're ready to take that journey, let's get started.
Throughout our time together, I don't know. Really all over the place. Like so much deep love and all of these amazing things about us and all, you know, how amazing we are together and all these things. But then all of a sudden him being like, oh, I don't know, I'm scared of getting into a relationship. But this time, as I was so intuitive and sensitive, it hit me like a ton of bricks. That night that we were talking, I could see and knew that this man really was not in a healthy mental state. and that all of the chaos that had been unfolding for him all year and most recently in his life really was exposing the instability that was within him that he'd been suppressing for a very long time. The cracks are starting to show is what I kept hearing. And this message that I kept hearing of the cracks are starting to show was actually from his brother who died many years ago, in which always came through for me, like came through with messages for him and me anytime we were together and even like when we're not together, just really strong. You guys know that I am a medium and I sense spirit and some spirit is stronger than others, but the messages aren't always clear. But sometimes they are. Like, it's hard. I never know what kind of information I'm going to receive. And usually when spirit comes through, they only give you what you need to know. And then this allows you free will, right? They won't tell you do this or do that or talk clearly. It's very simple kind of static transmission that is kind of hard to decipher. But the only time that the message was ever really, really that clear with me was during my car accident, because it's actually his brother's spirit, who had actually warned me twice about my car accident and who, yeah, I truly feel essentially saved my life. So I've always felt that deep connection to his brother because I just am in so much gratitude for the clarity of that message and really helped me in moving through my car accident and everything that unfolded with that. And looking back in hindsight, it's also been his brother all year that's been telling me not to run. Like every time I was with him, the guy I was seeing, I'd noticed my intuition and I had noticed some concerning things and behaviors about his mental state all year and some very concerning boundary issues. And it was only ever quiet or subtle, that intuitive feeling that I had that, you know, something just wasn't quite right about him. And his brother would always come in with that message, not run, don't run, don't run. Because I was like, I don't know about this, I don't know. So I wouldn't, I stayed in it. Because it's not just that, he was also so incredibly kind and giving and loving. I mean, truly, like we had the best time together and there was never any other red flags than other this, just something's a bit off. And I wasn't quite sure what it was because he seemed really normal enough. But I didn't listen to my intuition and I stayed. And it's obviously a message for me that I was meant to go through this and move through this. I know I was. Like, I've stayed. Everything that's unfolded, I see now how it's beneficial to me and other people involved as well. And to you guys too, hopefully. But anyway, I didn't listen to my intuition and knew there was a deep spiritual lesson that me and him had to learn together or had brought us together, hence why I didn't run. I just didn't know what that lesson was. Like, I had an idea. I thought maybe because my base belief and knowing is I am freedom, whereas he was really controlled and trapped in his last relationship. So he wanted that sense of freedom. So I felt like one of our lessons was for me to help show him that or teach him that through me being it myself and just embodying that energy. But anyways, I'd remained unattached to the outcome and just followed the flow. But anyways, as the conversation went on, I could see that he wasn't quite right and was deeply confused in a pretty unhealthy way, in an unhealthy mental state, just expressing that he had deep love for me from the get-go and that he tried to control it and hold it back and that he was scared of this love that he had and the depth and connection that we had and that I had his heart, that we have deep magnetic spiritual connection and all of these things. Yeah, and that he just didn't feel like he was okay or ready to be in a relationship. You know, that he was confused. He didn't want to lose me. Well, he didn't want to lose what he had with me. He didn't want me to go or not be in his life. Yet at the same time, he said he thinks he just still needed to explore and be with other people. So obviously this did not sit right for me and is not in alignment with my own sense of self-worth. And I knew that now. So even though I was confused as heck, I just ended it in a loving and understanding way after the talk. And I just told him that, you know, I had only just been able to open my heart to him and had just started falling in love. after he had told me that I was his and that he loved me. He'd said that only just 2 weeks earlier. So in that 2 weeks, I'd really tried to open my heart. Like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I fall in love? Like, why am I so blocked? Anyway, so I thought, you know, it was better for me to walk away now, as I just sensed that something wasn't adding up. Didn't feel right. And now, before I tell you the next bit, it's important for me to note that we actually had made an agreement about 3 or 4 months ago that things were moving too quickly. And at the time, we both kind of weren't sure if we were ready for a relationship again. And it kind of caught us off guard, the magnetic energy that we felt. And I knew that the magnetic energy was some sort of lesson or karmic lesson. I just didn't know what it was going to be. But, you know, I was like, okay, I won't run. I'll be in this, whatever's going to happen. Anyway, did not think this would unfold. So anyways, we'd both agreed to be seeing each other, but that we were able to date other people as we moved through, you know, our uncertainties and our fears of dating again. You know, after being in long-term relationships, we kind of were in the same space of like, we have a draw to each other. We have deep love of some sort, like, to each other, and there's something there, but we're both a little bit scared. So we agreed that 3 or 4 months ago. But as time moved on, we only got deeper and deeper, and I don't know, we just kept coming back to each other, but I still hadn't fallen in love. But anyways, what I ultimately had come to learn was that he'd actually been seeing someone else. And I learned this not from him telling me, but instead from a subtle knowing from my intuition and a few things that unfolded from the universe. Now, I don't know this woman really well, only from what other people have told me about her since everything's unfolded. But what's super interesting is that I actually met her about 2.5 years ago and got such a strong intuitive message for her, in which I was able to share in the best way I could, and it was received. But what's also really interesting at that time is that I also got a very dark sense of betrayal and just this weird confusion energy. And it really rattled me at the time. And I actually didn't share it with her because I was like, I don't know what this is and I don't know how to share it. And I remember I was saying to, like, my ex-husband at the time, like, I don't know, there's something not right there. Like, I don't know, there's something. I just felt betrayal. Just thought, I don't know. I didn't even know what it was. Gosh, and it's, yeah, that's the only encounter that I personally have ever had with her, and I've never seen her since. And gosh, it's just so weird to think that the cycles of time and my intuition can go that far back. Like, back then, I didn't know that I would be living where I am, and, you know, Kivik and I would have split. Like, I had no idea of any of that. So it's weird that it's unfolded the way it has. So anyways, so from finding, like, from these intuitive feelings that I had that he was seeing this person, I acted on my intuition and I asked him about it only about a week before everything unfolded, you know, a week before he said he wanted to go exclusive with me. So I asked him about it twice and he said nothing, and in fact indicated the opposite, with saying that, you know, she was just his friend, and I don't know, he just said a bunch of things that just didn't seem right, just some not nice things. Anyway, he indicated the opposite with me, like, incredibly thoughtful and loving words and gestures about us and what great times we have. So I, you know, I'm a trusting person. I overrode what my gut was trying to tell me and I believed him. I just was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I always show up. I always am so trusting with people, because to me, when you have trust for yourself, you naturally trust other people, because that's your inner world, reflects out into your outer world. And when you trust other people and their word and how they want to show up, that gives them the opportunity to show up exactly how they are. And I don't get a lot of deceitful people in my energetic field, I think, because I'm not a deceitful person in nature. So I just don't attract them. So I had no indication that he was being deceitful whatsoever. I believed him. But yeah, it turns out that he in fact was seeing this woman that I had thought, and yeah, he kept it hidden and hadn't been truthful before when I asked. And I thought this was odd because he didn't need a lie about it at all, since we had this agreement together. And I just thought, that's a really big red flag. it just seemed off. Like, why? Like, he had so many opportunities to be honest about what was going on and it would have been okay. So why was he lying? Why did he feel the need to lie when he'd been exposed a few times? Anyway, so he told me, yes, he actually, like the Monday night when we talked before my DMT journey, he said, yeah, actually, he was seeing someone else. And I said, I knew. Not that I knew, but I had a feeling and that, like, it's okay. Like, that's fine. And what was going on with them, like, you know, let me know because we need to figure out what we're doing. And he said that, yeah, the connection that they were in was clear and there was absolutely no emotions in this connection. It was just that it was easier. They had mutual friends together. And he said, like, of course he likes her, but he expressed that his connection with me was from his heart. It was deep and magnetic and physical and very spiritual and had been for a very long time, but that it had been really confusing for him because he just wasn't sure if he was ready. And he said, yeah, like he'd wanted to date as to try and diffuse his feelings for me and because they were so intense for him and he kind of wasn't ready. So he's like, oh, I'll just date other people. Anyway, that's what he said. Yeah, and that's when he said that he actually wanted to be exclusive with me. And yeah, that's the night he said that before my DMT journey. But what had unfolded the next day was that he now realized that he wasn't ready. And so with that retraction and kind of having this conversation of trying to get clarity as to where he was at, I decided to put an end to our connection. I just was like, no, you're in a confused state. It just doesn't seem right to me. And it was in a loving, friendly way. But before I left, I mentioned that, you know, if he had been anything like he was with me, which was so incredibly kind and loving and thoughtful, like he was amazing. He treated me so amazingly, that she would most likely have feelings for him because he is such a good, generous person that just a heads up, this woman probably really likes you. I don't know how long you've been together, but just heads up about that. And if you're not in a right frame of mind or you don't know what's going on with you, then you need to be clear with her too. And I said this because I know this is how the universe works with me. I said, if not, the universe is very powerful with me. Like, it's insane. It still blows my mind sometimes. And I said, I will most likely end up on her path somehow. Like, the universe will do it for you if you don't be honest or if you're not clear about things. Yeah, I've had this my whole life. People really don't understand how powerful the universe is. But so I warned that kind of as a joke, but also like, no, really, that's actually what happens. But so then the very next day, I wasn't prepared for how quickly this would unfold. A friend of mine invited me out to a small event in town and I thought, you know what? I think I need to leave the house. I need to just get out for half an hour. I'm feeling so ungrounded. I'm having all these symptoms and I just need to introduce myself slowly to being around people again and to go see some creative artwork and just feel inspired. So I decided to go. I was like, yeah, I'll go. It'd be really good to see her and just be in that creative energy. And then here's where the universe stepped in. And funnily enough, just before getting there and going in, I had the most overwhelming sense of dread. Like, I was sitting in the car and I was like, why do I feel this way? Like, what is this? It was just this, oh my God, just not a good anxious feeling. But I just wrote it off as my anxiety of only just having a deep spiritual experience, you know, from my ego disillusion. I thought I was just anxious about being around people again. I didn't get any other feeling or messages. So I just went inside and met with my friend and we'd only been talking for about a minute when guess who walked in and came right up to my friend that I was talking to. Yep, it was the other girl that he'd been seeing. Yeah, I haven't seen her in 2.5 years. Nothing. It hasn't been in my peripheral whatsoever. And here she was talking right in front of me to my friend and I was in absolute shock. I was shaking. I felt really sick and she turned to me to say hello and that she'd remember me from 2.5 years ago and we were kind of just chatting. But yeah, I was spinning. I could barely concentrate. I felt completely out of my body. And I don't know what came over me. Maybe because I'm just such an open, authentic and honest person. You know, I'm not fake or nor am I pretend in any way. What you see is what you get with me. And all of a sudden the words just started coming out of my mouth. I told her that I wanted to be open and honest with her, that I knew she was seeing this particular guy and that I'm actually the other woman that he's been seeing all year, but that I wanted to let her know that I've ended it now. It's over, so it's okay. You don't have to worry about that. And also that I'm a little bit concerned about his mental state, that things with these behaviors and just some weird things all recently. So just for her to be wary, just in case she was unaware or if she was concerned or saw it too, but also to let her know that I was no longer in the picture in case that would make her feel safer in any way, I guess. And it genuinely came from a place of love and yet also kind of just came out without being really able to comprehend what I was saying. It was almost like I was channeling. Now, what came to light from that exchange was that it was very, very obvious that she was deeply upset. She had no idea that he was seeing anyone else. And I came to know later that she was under the understanding that they were, in fact, were exclusive and had been for about a month or so. I don't know. So that conversation was obviously shocking and troubling to me. I left the place and went home just feeling so confused and so rattled. I've just never, ever experienced anything like this or been in anything like this. So, and just everything I've been in with my spiritual journey, I was just like, oh my God, what is going on? What's real? And now what took place next was an absolutely awful experience for me. So basically for the next 2 days, I felt psychically attacked. Now, as I was so blown open from my DMT experience, my natural energetic gifts were also really blown open and through the roof. So what happened was, is I could actually feel every emotion and thought from them both. They obviously were together and were talking and things were coming out. And I felt absolute confusion. It was so ungrounding for me. Like, I actually wasn't at an event during the day and I had to run to the washroom. I vomited. It was awful. I felt like I wasn't me. I felt like I was them. It was insane. I just had to ground. I went outside to hug a tree and just had to do everything I could to not spiral into a panic attack. And then what happened immediately after that feeling was then these messages just started flying in at me from both of them on my phone, pressuring me to kind of respond to both of their requests to meet up with them, like ASAP, like meet us this afternoon. And I was like, oh my God, like what is happening? Like one message was coming from one and then the other one was coming from another. And it's like, you know, meet us. Can you meet? And I'm like, what? No, like, no, I can't. And I was just like, what is happening? But what was really disturbing for me was that after these couple of days of these messages coming in and this overwhelm that I felt and the panic that I felt, it was horrible. I realized that it actually wasn't the guy that I'd been seeing that was messaging me from his phone. It was actually this other woman who had control over his phone and was pretending to be him texting me whilst also messaging me herself. So she'd had full access to all of our messages. The deep, vulnerable things that I had expressed to him in private, you know, that weren't for anyone else, she'd gone through and had read and seen. And I felt absolutely sick. I felt violated. I felt betrayed. And then, yeah, just the betrayal of just like pretending to be someone else. Like I just don't know people who do this. And I had no idea at the time. I was like, God, these messages are weird. Like, what is happening? Like, I had no clue of what's going on. And anyone that knows me is just like, how are you involved in something like this? I'm like, I don't even know or understand. But I was also told by her, this other woman, that I wasn't allowed to contact him anymore that she had control over his phone and would know if I did. It was wild. I've never been in anything as chaotic and unhealthy and controlling and just quite frankly bizarre as this, but she'd wanted us to all meet to kind of get clarity and closure. And I thought about it. I was like, fair enough. I understand. She's probably just as hella confused as I am. So I thought about it and I talked about it with friends. And even though I felt so incredibly pressured and controlled and unsafe inside about it, I thought about that. You know, I wanted to break free of that fear of mine. You know, old Terry would feel unsafe. But in this new timeline and new paradigm and new energies that I've been in on deeper levels, I've really been working with new Terry, who knows and believes she's always safe no matter what and is this vessel for unconditional love. And I just thought about the journey I went on and So I wanted to come from that new version of me, embodying and being that new version. And I also wanted to have clarity and peace for all of us too. So even though I was in deep hurt and confusion and felt attacked, I also had empathy and compassion. You know, this woman was just operating from her deep hurt and confusion as well as fear. And even though I would never conduct myself in that way, I really did feel compassion for her hurt and understood that she only just wanted to ultimately take control of the control she felt she didn't have in the situation and for her to feel safe inside again. And I thought, well, what a way that I can help share or teach that by being that. You know, she doesn't feel unsafe inside. When we feel unsafe inside, we become more controlling and we control situations to try and make it and force it to go a certain way. And I know that's not an authentic way to operate in life. So I was like, you know what? I need to feel safe inside and show up from this place of unconditional love and safety so that I can be that energy, and maybe that will help everyone as well. So I made the choice to go and meet them and hold space for what was needed to be heard and said. And for me, I only chose to hold space with the intentions of healings and to try and find clarity and hopefully closure, because it was awful. It was confusing. Now, I don't want to go into too much detail about how bizarre the whole meeting was, but a few things stood out for me. So first of all, was unhealthy. The guy that I'd been seeing looked, and how he was acting. I kid you not, I did not recognize him. Like, this man that I'd known all year, he was gone. Like, not confident, completely shut down, just, I don't know, didn't recognize him. It was just a shell. And even though deep apologies, and I felt they were genuine, the apologies, even though it was expressed by him, I did also note that he was not honest with some of the things he was saying in front of both of us women. I could see how much he was trying to balance and navigate pleasing the both of us, but the reality is there was no pleasing the both of us. There was deceit, there was betrayal, there was untruth. And it's like in what he was saying, it wasn't authentic. It wasn't all genuine in some of the things. Like, the apology was, and the regret and shame and guilt and everything that he had for himself was real. But everything else, I was like, nope, that's not true. Like, I was very deeply disturbed by his actions of deceit on the both of us. And but he wasn't honest in a few of the things he was saying. Like, I tried to express what actually was said to me in private before all of this mess was exposed and blew up, but it was not accepted. And instead, I was told that it was never said or never done. It never happened. So I felt completely gaslit. And I've never been in a situation, like, now I know what people talk about when they talk about gaslighting. Like, I've never been in, ever, hands down, a situation where I'm that gaslit. I was like, wow, I didn't know people like this existed. But, you know, I'm stable and normal enough of a human to know that any denial that came from him was just him trying to protect himself, but also, in the same sense, out of his complete unawareness of what he'd actually said and done at the time, like in his little worlds that he'd created with us. And it's just a symptom of someone who's just deeply unconscious and in their trauma. just deeply unconscious in the secret world he'd created. And I know he compartmentalizes things really well, right? He always talked about it like it's a skill, but it's not. It was like he can switch on and off in these little secret realities where it's very real and true for him in each individual reality, where he almost doesn't know what was said or done when he comes out of it, in a way, kind of. I don't know. But anyway, the whole meeting was very controlling in nature, but I knew it was because the other was, you know, just because the other woman, in which, you know, I felt so much compassion for, she was just deeply hurt. And it was bizarre for me. I was told what I was and wasn't allowed to say. And I just really felt as if the meeting was for her to kind of feel a little bit more in control after she'd been so deceived, which in the moment I understood. And I didn't take it personally, as I too had been equally betrayed and deceived. Yet I just didn't have that desire to control any of the situation or any of them, because that's not who I am. I don't operate that way. And I think they both maybe aren't used to interacting with someone like me. I have no idea. I could see how much he'd defaulted to the trauma response, and he'd completely shut down and really had defaulted into extreme people pleasing. And the whole time I could just see the responses, trauma responses of both of them, as well as the trauma bonding that was happening and defaulting into old negative patterns. So I was observing this, like I kind of switched off from listening and was just watching all of these energies at play of just so much unconscious, deep fear level stuff. And I was like, whoa, it's all low vibrational. And this meeting is not in alignment with the higher consciousness intentions that I'd gone into the meeting with. And I could see that. And so I decided to just fill myself with unconditional love, something that I was just shown how to do in my recent DMT journey that week, thank God, because it just really brought me to this higher level. And I felt calm and I felt peace. And there was this shift and clarity. And I could see clearly that, you know, he was not in a mentally well state and was in no place to be fully conscious of what was unfolding, the control and how not okay or normal the entire situation was. Yeah, it was like a switch. I just knew with my entire being that this is not the kind of man I want or the kind of life I want. That all of it was just so bizarre and not in alignment with my own sense of self-worth. And I could just see how my energy did not match with these people. I was like, nope, no, no thanks. So I just wanted out of there. So yeah, the meeting was not in any way healing, healthy, or providing any closure for me. I felt, yeah, it was kind of tinged with an agenda from the other woman for me to kind of back off and not pursue anything further with him. And I was absolutely okay with that. I was like, it was clear as day. I was like, you know what? That's fine by me. I absolutely am not okay with being this deceived or being treated with so much disrespect and deceit. Like my sense of self-worth is like, I know it. I've never had this. And I just, yeah, I want it out of there. So I peacefully expressed that none of this is okay. I did. I was like, you guys, like, just so you know, none of this is okay. It's not normal. It's not healthy. I've never been in anything so toxic or chaotic as this. And then I was met with the response of, well, welcome to the real world, which I was totally shocked in hearing. It's been so long since I've been exposed to people that think this way. So I forget that people like this actually exist. You know, that they think that the world is just this random cruel thing, like things just cruel things happen to them and they're a victim of it, instead of realizing that you're the one that accepts and chooses lower levels, things that match lower levels of self-worth. So I just express back in a firm but calm manner that no, this actually is not the real world. You create your world. So for me, in my world, I don't experience any of this because I don't associate with people or energies that are this destructive. So with that, I just excused myself and I hugged them both with just genuine care and concern and unconditional love and just wished them both well on their healing journey. And then I left. So yeah, I knew there was nothing that I could say or do at the time, as both of them would not receive my truth from the level of consciousness that they were at the time. No matter how clear I was or what I expressed. Any efforts in striving to be heard or in expressing any truth was futile. So yeah, after that, the next few days, I was a mess. I don't even want to go into all of it, but yeah, I was anxious. I was hurt. I was more confused than ever before. Didn't have clarity, didn't have closure. I had panic attacks. I had to have friends sleep with me at nighttime. And of course, I was still also battling with the slipping symptoms from my DMT journey. And what was really unsettling to me was how I had no clue about the extent and degrees or level of the deceit and lies. And I just kept, I was in a tizzy. I was like, how the heck am I or did I get dragged into something like this? You know, I noted that Vince are around, like there was no indication of anything. Like he was never destructive towards me whatsoever. So it really came out of the blue. Really shocked me, really rattled me. But I did note that although there was never anything in our world that we had together and like anything that I noticed that was concerning, I did note that events around him in wrapping up his old life with his ex was chaotic and was toxic. And I'd always wondered, like, how is this manifesting when he's been so kind and loving and good? Like it never made sense to me. So I was battling this what's real kind of question from both sides, like what's real the whole time in the connection that we had, like what was actually real? And then I also had, in a grander sense, what is real in the sense of reality itself after my experience with the DMT journey, right? Like the duality of trust and betrayal were present on all scales and in my face. Truth and falsity or falsehood, like the duality or the polarity of life, light and dark, like huge. Ultimately what I have to say though is what I was most rattled about was my own sense of trust in myself and my intuition. So it really rattled me that self-betrayal. I didn't know if I could trust myself. Like what was real? What's ever real? I don't know what's real. Anyway, so after the meeting, I actually tried to reach out and have actual closure because I did not know what was true or real after every, I don't know. I needed clarity. I reached out and I said, you know what? No one can ever tell you what you can and can't do. So you're my friend. We had a connection, you and I. So I reached out and he responded that he wanted to and that I deserved respect and closure in a talk, but that he had to ask for permission from this other woman in order for us to meet and have a normal, healthy adult conversation. So this, of course, like that response was so warped to me that an adult man had to ask permission to do something, you know, to have this normal, healthy, adult, respectful closure. And yeah, needless to say, he did not meet me and didn't give me anything that gave me closure or answers. So yeah, I'm not surprised, but it's just like, wow, okay. Just shows the levels of boundary issues he has. And anyway, although I'm proud of breaking an old pattern of mine and actually, you know, I was able to express what I needed by reaching out, in the weeks that unfolded, I realized that even if we did have closure and had that talk, I actually was never going to get closure or the truth for him anyways, because he himself was still so mentally well and so confused and just caught up in these different worlds that both worlds and all worlds that he's created for himself all feel very real or true for him. So instead, the universe actually gifted me the closure and answers I needed for myself instead in the most divine synchronistic ways. And I know how this all sounds like, oh, he's just a player or a douchebag or whatever. And I'm not excusing him, all the messed up things he did. It's terribly messed up. It's disrespectful and disgusting behavior. But that's not actually what or how it really was or from the place that it came from. Like it wasn't malicious intention. I don't feel he was being malicious on purpose by being so deceitful. he was and is just a very traumatized and mentally unwell person that does not understand boundaries at all. And that I could find compassion and understanding for. And yeah, boy, oh boy, have I realized a lot of things. So through channeled messages from his brother, from my guides, from my friend talking to friends and therapists, what I've come to know, and I mean really know, is that, yeah, he's not in a mentally healthy place and hasn't been for a long time. And I've been diving deep into complex post-traumatic stress disorder and enmeshment trauma. Wow, mind-blowing. It's really helped me to understand the secret worlds that he'd created for himself, you know, not only with me, but in many other ways too throughout his whole life, which he's shared with me over the year. And some of the things he shared, I was like, that's not right. Like, that doesn't sound right. And now I'm really starting to see all of it from a greater perspective. So yeah, these worlds are very real and genuine or true for these people. It gives them space to feel in control in their lives and ultimately feel safe as well. Like when you've been controlled a lot in your life, or you feel like you're out of control, or you feel like you're not free, or if you don't really have a sense of identity and have real extreme boundary issues, like through enmeshment trauma, yeah, these worlds or secret worlds are there to help them feel more in control and feel safe. So this was actually how he was able to seemingly operate in such a normal way, right? Without me or anyone really being able to notice that there's something not right or in fact actually really quite wrong. It's also a way for them, these people, to define themselves and have a sense of autonomy. You know, since these people don't understand boundaries at all and they don't like how they work and they don't know how to exercise them for themselves or respect other people's boundaries either. Yeah, as I said countless times, I witnessed abnormal behavior and things like around boundary issues and it just didn't align with authenticity and just, I don't know, there was so much that didn't align for me or my values. And is why I didn't want to jump in right away and didn't, like, I had feelings for him, but I didn't love him because of this. And it's funny too, like after journaling and diving deep into the work, I realized that what really has helped me to release and let go of all that's unfolded was the fact that I actually was forcing myself to open up to loving him instead of allowing the love to come. So all year, I actually hadn't fallen in love because deep down, I wasn't too sure about him. Like I had deep care and had such incredible times and we had fun and I was treated so, so well. And I always thought like, what's wrong with me? Why? Like, this is great. Why aren't you falling in love? And I realized it's because there were things that just weren't aligning for me and didn't seem right. And the reality was, is I only just had opened up my heart. And that's because I thought I had to, right? Like here I am all year trying to break free from my old patterns of struggling and being able to open my heart up in relationships. And, you know, with the encouragement, my friends and everyone around me cheering me on saying, okay, you know, you can do this. It's so safe for you to love again. You can do this. And I was like, yeah, I can. But like, why aren't I? Like, am I really, what am I fearing? Like, why can't I fall in love? But the reality was, is I didn't love him. There were many things about me that didn't align with me, my values, and what I deem as living an authentic life. But because he was so open and generous and expressive with his love in so many ways, and we had that deep connection, it's almost like I kind of got caught up in all of that instead of listening to what I truly felt, which was like, I'm not sure. And let me just out myself here too. It's really important for me to say this. I gladly took all of that love and the fun times and the freedom and the goodness that was offered and that we shared together because I had been deprived of it for so long. So some part of me betrayed myself and my intuition and my wants and needs and values, so my own boundaries, because of what was being offered in that world of his, you know, that we were in. You know, it was over the top and it was so great. So some part of me yearned for that. And yeah, I just need to acknowledge that too. Yeah, and it was only after weeks and weeks of him expressing all of these deep, loving words about us and me and of him saying, you know, you have me, I love you one night, that then I was like, okay, well, he's there. He feels these things. Why don't I? So I actively tried to open my heart and work on it. And I tried to force myself to open up my heart and start to fall in love. So that's what I did. And I showed myself that, yeah, I could open up, but how I went about it did not come from a place of allowing. It came from a place of forcing myself, which is so shocking to look back and see now from this removed perspective. And so the thing about doing that is it's not authentic. It's not from true, authentic, unconditional love, which is to allow the love to form and not force it. And I know you guys, oh my God, it seems so complex and twisted, but all of this, as I said out loud, oh gosh. But we never were going to align from this inauthentic place, no matter what band-aid love was offered or received. You know, the other layer, which is super interesting, is although in his world what was real and true and authentic to him, in our world together that he'd created, you know, it was real and just as real and he felt all these things, overall, it's actually really not true or authentic either, right? Because it's a world that's actually formed by him and an unhealed place inside of him from a place that comes from a trauma response and in which I engaged in and I allowed because I was like, you know what? I like this love and affection and attention. This is great. You know, it ultimately came from this place of trauma of him not knowing himself, of him operating from a very unconscious traumatic place. And this is all how all of his relationships have been, because he's talked about them over the year, like over our time together. He talked about his last relationship. And I also know that some part of him was not used to being around someone like me. And you guys might find this too, when you meet different people of different degrees and levels of consciousness, when you're really different from someone else, they just don't know how to engage with you. They don't understand you because you're at completely different levels of consciousness. And that's where things can be misunderstood or truths cannot be received. And yeah, like as I'm very different from the people he defaults to and ultimately had trauma bonded with in last relationships, you know, I'm different. I'm about freedom, authenticity, healing, love and joy and a place of higher consciousness. Whereas he's used to controlling, right? He's used to just different people and betraying his own wants and needs or boundaries to please others as to help fix them. And this therefore gives them a sense, him a sense of like identity or acceptance and ultimately that false sense of being love or having love. I've never met anyone that betrays their own wants and needs just to please others' wants and needs in this way. It's been mind-blowing. I'm like, wow, like it's so terribly destructive for themselves and anyone else involved. Like, think about it. You would have absolutely no clue as to what is real or what they actually want, since all they do is self-sacrifice to please. Like, you would have no clue as to if they really wanted to be with you, what they really want to do, you know, if they actually really love you or if they were just going along with whatever makes that other person happy. Like, what an absolute mindfuckery that would be. And I can kind of understand how maybe his ex-partner felt when she, you know, and why she may have reacted or acted in the way she did, which was like caused a lot of chaos in their world. Like, I can kind of understand, like, she must have been just so perplexed. Like, what the heck? What's even real? Maybe even feel a little bit used. So anyways, yeah, some part of him was not used to being with someone like me. Maybe fearful of being with someone like me would mean that, you know, his truth would have to be exposed. He'd have to realize and face a lot of his shadows and fears and have to be addressed. And nor would he even know how to operate in a relationship like this. You know, he's so used to fixing others and pleasing others and dealing with chaos all the time to try and fix it so that ultimately he has a sense of like self from that, right? To feel that sense of self, even though it's a false sense of self. So yeah, I must have been really unfamiliar to him. And it's true. He has expressed that and did express that many times. And yeah, I can imagine it just like you're unfamiliar with that, those kind of people. It goes against what, you know, you've chosen your whole life. So yeah. But I also know that some part of him desired it too, obviously, because, you know, he created this world and continued seeing me and being with me, even after being exclusive with the other woman. He kept continuing it and further deepening the relationship. And it's just that it was in a way that felt safe for him and him only, you know, so that he could enjoy that sense of freedom that he hadn't had for so long and that sense of self that he wasn't used to having, you know, because he didn't have to fix me, nor am I controlling, nor was there any drama or chaos or fighting or anything like that in any way whatsoever. Yeah, so he continued that world with me in a way where he could control it and feel safe and a sense of true self. Yeah, which was freeing for him. Yeah, what else do I want to say about this? And it's funny too, like even with all of his deceitful actions and words to both me and the other woman, he knew that he wouldn't be able to continue like this forever. He knew he was losing grip of having it all under control. He knew that things were unfolding and crumbling fast. The truth always comes out in the end. So things were coming to a head and he knew that things were starting to be exposed and his safe worlds that he tried to create and maintain were ultimately starting to crumble. And I could see the sense of desperation and control in his efforts of not being honest with me or the other woman, you know, about the nature of their relationship just before I ended it. You know, these actions are also obvious and just scream huge red flags to me about the scale of his unhealthy mental state. It's just so sad. I don't know. I just have so much, I'm not sad, it's just like I have compassion who are with the people who are in these states, trauma responses. Yeah, and of course some part of him didn't want to be outed for the chaos and all of that. But, you know, the fact that he showed up over and over again, owning his deceit, profusely apologizing and just being in all sorts about it, really gives me some indication that there is a conscious person there, you know, because of owning the actions and the shame and guilt and everything, you know, because he could have easily just run away or ghosted without an apology or, you know, try to make things right. So to me, I see that is some glimpse of being somewhat conscious of his actions. But I see that he was just so unconscious of what he was trying to do in creating these secret worlds to ultimately only try to make him feel safe and a sense of self and autonomy and freedom. So the last thing I just wanted to add is, yeah, this is an example, a very extreme example of how when you operate from your fears and your shadows, that you will manifest events in your life that are chaotic and destructive. Like whatever it is in your life, love, friendship, career, if it's forced, controlled, or primarily like continuously comes from fear, your shadows, when you operate from your fear or shadows, it will always, always break down eventually. It will not sustain. The true nature of the original energy that motivated all the choices that you chose and decisions and actions, it's always exposed or comes to light in the end. That's how reality works. Whatever you choose to operate primarily from, so the majority of your thoughts, choices, actions, decisions made, it always manifests outwards into our reality from that underlying energy. I see it over and over again everywhere. Sometimes it takes time to manifest, depending on how unconscious you choose to be, or sometimes it can crumble and tower and happen really quickly. So with this clarity, I know I dodged a massive bullet, like holy massive bullet. I'm so thankful for what unfolded. I'm glad I imagine. Oh my God. Like, yeah. I'm just so grateful that I'm out of there now and out of that situation and I've learned so much from it. And yeah, it's been incredibly stressful and jarring and awful, but I really have learned a lot. And yeah, I was just a pawn in this karmic lesson with these people. And although in my channelings I've done this is what I've channeled, is, you know, ultimately, it actually wasn't my overall karmic lesson to learn. I was just a pawn in it. It actually was a karmic lesson for the both of them. And even though I was just like kind of a player in that, like, I actually learned so many valuable lessons and reminders for myself in my journey. So I got something out of it too. And I'm so glad that I came from a higher evolved or higher place of consciousness with my actions and words. I was just being my true self, authentic self. And that's a reminder to me that there are so many ways that we can be the change in the world, and that's the most powerful way to teach. You know, now I know what I want. Now I know what I want in a partner. I know who I am. I know what I'm creating. I know that I live from a place of authenticity, joy, and unconditional love. You know, I'm not controlling. I'm not materialistic or egoic or superficial or deceitful in nature. And, like, I know that more than ever. Like, I knew it before, but it's like now it's like, wow, yeah, it just shows. And also, this is why I don't have and never have had anything like this experience or anything like this intense and dramatic. I've never had anything like this occur in my life. This is not the real world for me at all. And like, how do I say this? Like, because I've never experienced any of this just shows that that's not my underlying energies. I don't come from feelings of control or fear or like I just don't have or chaos. Like I don't have that in my life and I don't manifest that because that's not who I am. And some people, they do, right? Like it's a lesson that you cannot hide from what your reality is obviously showing you. If you continue to constantly attract and experience unhealthy, toxic, or controlling partners or relationships, you know, that aren't healthy or lasting, then that's a reflection of you, of what's inside, of your fears, of what you're choosing from your lower sense of self-worth. I haven't had anything like that. And even, you know, even with my marriage, like Kivik and I are still great friends and we ended it in such a loving, healing way. And it just goes to show like that's just a reflection of who we are as people, you know, so you can't hide from what's obvious in your reality and what continues to unfold for you. You know, it mirrors back to you what's inside, you know, from what place are you taking actions from? What place are you choosing certain people or things and why, like the real why? Like if your why primarily comes from ego or from fear or, you know, from a place of lack or fear of not having or I'm a victim and I can never have this and I always attract toxic people. Oh, I'm wanting this because what status it brings me or what materialistic things this person can give me or what false sense of love you feel from that person instead of giving it to yourself, then that why is coming from a place of fear and not authenticity or unconditional love. So when you consistently do that, that is what will manifest. So it won't sustain, it won't last, and it'll just keep happening over and over again. We're constantly being given opportunities to break our patterns and lower vibrational cycles. Constantly. And that's what this was. It was an opportunity to break free of patterns. I broke free of so many patterns. I'm so proud of myself and I conducted myself in a way that was true and authentic to me. And any fearful things that came up for me, I looked at it and addressed it and, you know, did the work. That's the real work. That's what it means to be spiritual or a conscious creator, not how much yoga you do or meditation you do. Anyway. So yeah, now I've removed my energy and my light as it's wasted energy trying to fix or solve or force anyone to see anything when they're so stuck in their unconscious fears, habits, and actions. And I'm now choosing to focus on all the things and people and experiences that reflect unconditional love, that are true and authentic. And you guys, I'm so, so grateful. I have so much of that. Like so many amazing, good, authentic people I have in my life. Like I see it and oh my God, I think this is what is the most pivotal message for me overall is I've been able to open my heart in a true and not forced way to these people who are an energetic match to me, authentic,
and just so kind and so giving and so loving. Like even more so than I ever have before, to all of these amazing friends and people who show up for me, rally around me and love me unconditional that I have in my life. So I guess that's a mission completed for me. I asked for it, right? When I went into my journey to open my heart and know unconditional love on a deeper level. And it manifested. It's just that it manifested in the most random, surprising, yet magical way possible after all. Anyhow, oh my God, I'm so aware of how long this episode is going on for. I really hope that this episode didn't come across as ill intention in any way, as that's not, like, absolutely not my intention. I'm just sharing my truth and what I've learned from it so far, which is a lot. And in case this helps any of you out there that may have experienced something similar, and if you did, my God, I'm so sorry. What a trip. Go easy on yourself. Give yourself some grace. But honestly, you guys, even last week's episode that I shared, I've had so many messages flooding in from you all about how much that message resonated for you. And so I really, truly hope that whoever's listening to this episode, that it resonates for you too. Thank you. Have an awesome week, everyone. Bye.
Well, that's it for today, guys. And if you like today's episode, please like and follow us on our socials, share this podcast with friends, and why not leave this podcast a review? Oh, and hang out next for a minute if you want some high vibe laughs.
Okay, so this actually isn't a funny joke for you guys, sorry, but it's still something that made me smile. As soon as I finished recording, I jumped onto my favorite astrologer, Empowering Astrology, Katie Sweetman, and I just read something. So Mars in Sagittarius makes a square to Neptune, right? Neptune was in retrograde during a lot of that period where there was so much deceit and deception. And it says, how do we align with our desires with something greater and altruistic? And she writes, Neptune isn't the level of personal. It has a reputation for confusion, disorientation, and even illusions, which is what I was in that period of all of this unfolding. Neptune was retrograde, so I was like in all of that and I had no clue. But when used altruistically, Neptune can show us the magic of life and opens us up to the world beyond our world. What happens when you let go of the fight? Those pointless battles that we all engage in. What happens when we allow for our actions to be in the support of something greater than ourselves? Neptune is well used for self-reflection and inner search, especially in Pisces. So I just thought that was really neat that I'm tuning into creating this episode today when these energies are about and sharing what I've learned and everything from this deceit and illusion in a more evolved way, in a way that can help others and from an altruistic place. So I thought that was really cool.